fly ball hit the right field pretty well. Bautista going back, running, track, wall. It's over his glove, off the wall. Bautista's hurt. He's lying on the track at third base, heading home is Zobrist. Here's the throw. He slides in, has room to get it inside the park home run.
There is the inside the park home run for Ben Zobrist, with Jose Bautista writhing in pain on the warning track in right field. That's the play of the game, brought to you by Rogers On Demand. Watch Jays live from anywhere, online or on the go, at rogersondemand.com. Blue Jays lose it 5-2. Bautista stayed in the game despite a left knee injury. Stayed in the game through five innings, but could not answer the bell for the sixth. Mark Tian pinch hit for him then and struck out and flied out. And after Jose Bautista left, the Blue Jays didn't get another hit. They lose 5-2 to the Rays. They get a grand total of three hits, a double, a triple, a home run. They miss the cycle by a single and lose 2-3 to Tampa. The Jays wind up 6-12 against the Rays this year, 7-11 against the Yankees, 8-10 against the Red Sox. So a grand total of 12 games under 500 against those three teams that you could argue are the three best teams in the league. 12 games under 500 against them. 13 games over 500 against everybody else. My question going in on the Jays talk today is, does it matter to you if the Blue Jays have a winning record? They're 80-79 right now going into their final series of the year in Chicago against the White Sox. Dustin McGowan against Dylan Axelrod in the opener. The Henderson Alvarez and Mark Burley in game two. And it'll wrap up with Brandon Morrow and Phillip Umber. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Jason in Toronto, you're going to lead us off.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. Does it matter to you if the Jays finish with a winning record this year?
You know, my thinking is along the same lines as yours. I think it would be nice, but ultimately, you know, it doesn't really matter either way whether they're, you know, two games under or a game over. But yeah, it'd be nice to see that.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Yeah, that's all there is to it.
What I wanted to talk about was it's not often that I root against the Jays, but I'm kind of embarrassed to say that this weekend I definitely was.
I'm sorry to hear that. And you're not the first person I've heard it from. I think that's just awful. I really do.
I know it's tough to admit. We spoke last Sunday, and you were steadfast in your belief that, you know, the Rays are not going to make the playoffs. The Red Sox are just fine.
And, yeah, I think the Red Sox are still going to be fine.
Okay, well, it's funny because it should be obvious, I think, to anyone who listens to your show, even though you haven't come out and admit it, that you know, you do not want to see the Rays in the playoffs. I'm not sure if.
No, I don't want to see the Rays in the playoffs.
But you would. My point is that, of course, we all want to see the Jays in the playoffs. But my point is, you would rather see the Red Sox in the playoffs because you it makes sense in your head. You can justify it.
Well, I think the Red Sox are a better team than the Rays, and neither of them. They've both been awful lately.
Yeah.
But I do think the Red Sox are a better team.
Well, you know, over the last couple of weeks, what's happened watching this collapse has been really entertaining, and
it has.
You know, this matchup tonight, Lackey versus Nova at Yankee Stadium, we have every reason to believe that going into play tomorrow, the Rays are going to be tied with the Sox for the wild card with three games left.
Well, let's not anticipate anything. But you know what? If that happens too, the Angels could very well be a game back.
See, and even there, you would rather have the
Angels. Oh, I'd definitely rather have the Angels in than the Rays. And I think every Blue Jays fan should rather have the Angels in than the Rays.
I don't know. I think the reason, really, even though you might not admit it, is that what the Rays are doing makes the Jays look bad. They're competing on, you know, I just saw Moneyball.
I don't think it does. I think if the Blue Jays can't catch up, then yeah, it makes them look bad. But I think that in the overall, the Rays had a pretty huge head start on the Blue Jays.
How's that?
They had 10 years of sucking. And okay. So they're 2 or 3 years. Well, maybe 3 or 4 years ahead of where the Jays are in their rebuild right now. And the Jays never had that time of suck, and I don't think they ever will.
The only way that argument makes sense is to say that the Rays are built on all these first-round picks that are carrying them to this great record. And that's not really true. If you look at their pitching, which is their strength.
But that's not the only way the argument makes sense. When you draft high for 10 years, in the first, when you draft first or second in every round for 10 years, when you make smart deadline deals, which the Rays have done, they've sold at the deadline, and the Blue Jays missed the boat on that. That's something that I've criticized J.P. Ricciardi for before. But that's all part of it. When you're horrible, it makes it a lot easier to make those deadline deals. But those are all the reasons that the Rays are where they are right now.
If pitching is their strength, you've got Shields that went in the 16th round, their best pitcher this year. You've got Helixson that went in the 4th round. And you've got Matt Moore, their pitcher of the future, who went in the 8th round. And Davis went in the 3rd round. So these aren't all first-round, second-round guys.
No, they're not. They're not all first-round, second-round guys. And the Rays have a great scouting and development system. And there's no question about that. But it's unsustainable, is a short window. And I would prefer to see them not make the playoffs this year. I don't think they deserve to make the playoffs this year. But they might. I'd still rather see the Angels do it. But everything you say is completely fair and correct. But it's a short window. It's unsustainable. They're probably going to have to trade James Shields after this season. They may have to redo their entire bullpen another time, like they did last year. That's too bad, and that's what makes them the Expos.
Well, it's fun to watch while it lasts. But thanks for taking my call, Mike.
I appreciate it. I just think, honestly, if you're a Blue Jays fan, I don't see why you would root for the Rays. I don't think it has to be a matter of you hate the Rays less than you hate the Red Sox. The Angels could be a game back. Root for them. The Angels are leading Oakland 2-0 right now in the bottom of the 4th inning in Anaheim. Root for them. Because if the Rays and Red Sox are tied for first place in the wild card race after today, the Angels, if they win this game, will only be a game back. And the Angels wrap up their season at home to Texas, which is going to be tough. No question about that. The Rays are home to the Yankees for the last three. The Red Sox play Baltimore for the last three games. So even though Boston has been just awful, you still have to give the edge to the Red Sox going into the last three games of the season. Tony's in London. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Mike. As for your question, does it matter to have a winning record? Well, I think it does, but if you look at the team overall, this has been a very competitive team, and that's not a mild word to use. Except for the season series against the Yankees and the Rays, the Jays have pretty well either won or split all the other series with the American League clubs, except against the Tigers are 2-4 and the Royals are 3-4. So for to be representative this season, you want to have a winning record because you have held your own against pretty well everybody in the American League except, I hate to say it, the Rays and the Yankees. And on a per-game basis, you want to see Alvarez. I mean, it's a shame he's pitched so well and all he's got to show for it is one win. And you want to see McGowan follow up a good start and picking up another win. That would be make the comeback complete. And, of course, Morrow's had two shutout starts, the last two starts, and you want to see him finish well. So on that basis, you do like to see this finish with a flourish, although I know usually at the end of the season, the last series, the games are played kind of quickly, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, they definitely are played kind of quickly, no question about that.
And as far as next year's starting rotation, I mean, there's a lot of candidates on this team right now and the roles in which they're lined up. You don't know, is Lich going to be back in the rotation or not? Is Carreño a candidate for the rotation? And then again, Brett Cecil today, people are sort of writing him off. But you remember back in spring training in 2009, nobody thought much of Ricky Romero.
That's right.
And he just came on. He had a great rookie year, and a better sophomore year, and an all-star season this year. and a better performance than just a 15 win. Although 15 wins is not too shabby, but it should have been a lot more. You think of maybe a 20 game
16
win,
wins,
should have been.
He had 16, but yeah, he probably with a little run support could have won 24 this year. That's how good Ricky Romero was. It's interesting, Tony, and I appreciate the call. It's interesting to look at the rotation, especially through the lens of what happened in 2001, when we saw Brett Cecil take a big step back, even though in the overall his numbers were about the same. We saw Kyle Drabek take a big step back, and we saw Brandon Morrow take a step back from where he was last year, or how he finished last year, although he's finishing this year awfully strongly right now. But when you look through that lens to say, well, Henderson Alvarez is going to be fantastic next year, and Nestor Molina is going to be great next year, and all of this, it's impossible to say that when you look at how the young pitching that the Jays were counting on this year didn't work. It takes time. But it will be very interesting to see what happens next year, especially with Cecil. I'm very interested to see how he bounces back from this. A disappointing season, and his last two starts, the last time out he didn't even see the fourth. Today he didn't make it out of the fourth. So not a great way for him to finish up. Terry is in Kirtfield. Terry, does it matter to you if the Jays finish 500?
No, not really. And psychologically, if there's a big expectation that, that's the benchmark, that could put some unnecessary pressure on next year's squad.
You think so?
Who knows?
Was there unnecessary pressure on this year's squad?
Nope. And it could very well work out to be another 500 year, and that'd be great.
Okay.
But my question was about the injury to Bautista today, and it prompted a general question that has been driving me nuts for years, and that is, why is there not a protocol between the baseball team and the media that, hey, one of our players has been injured, let alone a major player, and we will update you every X minutes on his condition regardless. That way you, as the media, can decide whether the information is relevant to share or not, but at least you're getting the information.
Right, so you think that they should say every half hour, say, we still don't know, or no change, or we still don't know?
Anything like that, just so that you're getting some form of communication out of them. I mean, it's not comparable, but I mean, if you were in a hospital and had somebody in there and the nurse wouldn't even tell you anything, I mean, it'd be pretty upsetting. And I mean, not that this is comparable, but it's this complete lack of communication between the clubhouse and the media when there's an injury that just seems to be an unaddressed issue in my mind.
I don't think it is an issue. They tell us when they know things. We get mid-game updates on injured players as soon as there's an update.
Well, then maybe you guys need to tell us that.
We tell it to you as soon as we hear.
We're waiting to hear.
Well, we tell you as soon as we hear.
Okay.
And there weren't any updates given out on Bautista in-game today. Barry Davis from Sportsnet reported a couple of minutes ago, and I missed the tweet. And it came through. Oh, it came through 15 minutes ago, and I missed it. Sorry about that. There's a contusion to the inside of Bautista's left knee, and he'll likely need a day off on Monday. Right. So there you go.
Okay.
But
thanks for the update.
I appreciate it. Okay. I appreciate whoever retweeted it that I saw, because I missed it in the whole big line of tweets. But generally, what happens when a player gets injured, and I've always thought that they should update it at the ballpark too. I think that's the big problem, is that guys get scratched or guys come out of games and they just don't tell people who are sitting in the stands what's going on. But the Blue Jays update us as soon as they know anything, and we pass it along to you as soon as we hear it. By the way, they are in the ninth inning right now in Chicago, and this is getting kind of uncomfortable too if you're a Braves fan. The St. Louis Cardinals have taken a 3-2 lead on the Cubs into the ninth inning. Rafael Furcal hit his eighth home run of the year to break the tie. So if the Cardinals hold on to win this game, and it's Jason Mott who's on to close it, then the Cardinals will be just one game back of the Braves for the National League wild card. And boy, are they going to regret blowing that 6-2 ninth inning lead on Thursday against the Mets. Daryl is in Muskoka. Hello, Daryl.
Yes, good afternoon, Michael.
And to you.
And a couple things. So to your question, I think it's huge if they have a winning record this year, to be perfectly honest with you.
Okay, tell me why.
Well, this is the toughest division in baseball. We all know that.
Yep.
I think anytime you can have a winning record, I think you've accomplished something based on the things you pointed out. You know, the win-loss record against the good teams in this division and how we do against the rest of baseball. But more so this year than last, as an example, because we finished with a winning record last year, correct?
Yep, 85 and 77 last year.
I mean, as I think about it, we know the pen wasn't very good this year and had some challenges. We know the starting rotation wasn't as good as they were maybe hoping it would be. They injected rookies throughout the lineup this year. They've had their share of injuries. I can't believe they might have a winning record.
Yeah,
to be
me neither.
Perfectly honest with you.
No, and I think that's completely fair. Given everything that's happened this year, when you look at whose 2011 will be looked back on as a failure, you've got Brett Cecil, Kyle Drabek, Brandon Morrow, probably, Travis Snyder, Adam Lind, Aaron Hill, while he was with the Blue Jays, all those guys, Colby Rasmus, the bullpen, all those guys whose 2011 will be looked back on as a failure in their eyes and in the eyes of the fans. And they're still going to be a 500 team.
Or better, maybe. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And to that other gentleman's point about Tampa, you know, my thinking on that, Michael, is this. As bad as they were for 10 years, and I think it actually was longer than 10 years.
No,
but
it was
I'll
10
take
years.
Your word. It's been 10.
Yeah.
As bad as they were and the drafting position they had, I can't believe they're not better than they are right now. Because I think they should be. Because that's how bad they were for 10 years.
Yeah, but the problem is, and it's the Expo conundrum.
Like
they blew a first overall pick in Josh Hamilton, unfortunately, and they cut him and he went on to great things. But they, you know, they could still have Matt Garza. They could have Carl Crawford, Carlos Pena. They could have Joaquin Benoit and Rafael Soriano right now, but they can't afford to keep guys. That's the Expo conundrum. So they could be a lot better than they are if they had any kind of budget, which they don't.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, that's all true. But anyway, yeah, and I ain't. I'd love to see the Angels slip in. I don't want to see the Rays. I certainly want to see the Bo Sox. But I'll tell you, if the Boston does choke this one up, it'll be pretty amazing. I mean, it wasn't like they had a huge running away lead with a month to go or the last few weeks. But
yeah, they did.
How many games was it?
Nine.
How many games up? Was it that many? Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. Okay, I thought it was like five or six.
No.
And, you know, that's been done before plenty of times. But anyway, we'll see how it goes. It'll be an interesting final three games, that's for sure.
It certainly will. Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate the call. The St. Louis Cardinals just finished off the Cubs 3-2. So St. Louis is a game back of the Atlanta Braves for the National League wild card with three games to go. Raptorized John, hello.
Yo, Miguel, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, man.
Good stuff.
Well, yeah, you know what? Well, I'm always one for winning. You know, nothing replaces, as Vince would say, winning is everything. So if you can finish one game above 500, that's better than finish 500. You finish two games above 500, that's better than finishing 500. So, you know, I think that, you know, if they finish above 500, it's going to be good for the team psychologically. And it'll give them something to look forward to going into next year, even though despite all the changes in the lineup and all the injuries they went through. And, you know, so that's how I feel on that.
All right.
I'm just amazed at this pennant race we got going on. Man, this is really wild.
Yeah, this is nuts. I mean, nobody, I sat here in the middle of September and said, all right, we know which team's going to the playoffs.
Yeah, I was going to ask who you were going to predict, because you know it's going to go all the way, you know, but now we already know who's going to be in it for sure. tease, man. This is really wild, man.
That's what makes it fun.
What the Blue Jays had to go through. Yeah, it's fun for us because we're not in it, but I remember 87, man. That was gut-wrenching.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Thanks for bringing that up.
Sorry, Mike.
All right, John. Appreciate it. Yeah, 87 was gut-wrenching. And you know what? It's not dissimilar, I guess, to what the Red Sox are going through right now. But that was different because the Red Sox are just – they're getting killed. And they've been awful for a month. The Blue Jays, it was just a week. And they had a 3.5-game lead with a week to play. And they didn't win another game. I don't think the Red Sox are going to not win another game. I'm looking forward to, you know, perhaps a three-way playoff, which would be insane. But Red Sox lost, Rays won. Angels are winning 2-0 in the bottom of the fifth inning. And Danny Heron's pitching a one-hitter. We could have three teams within one game of the American League wildcard at close of business today. Of course, if the Red Sox win the back half of their doubleheader, I'll get a little breathing room. Brett's in Pickering. Hello, Brett.
Hi, Mike. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
For the question at hand, does it matter? To me, it doesn't. There's a lot bigger difference between winning 75 and 80 than there is winning 80 or 82. So given that how many blown saves the bullpen has done, bad years from the people that you named, I think it's great. 80 wins, fine. 83, amazing.
All right.
I think that's all good. Also wanted to comment, have you heard it hasn't happened since 67, but Matt Kemp is three batting points away from a triple crown.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
And also on the same bad team, Kershaw has the triple crown of pitching right now, tied in wins with Ian Kennedy,
yep.
But he leads all three categories. You know, for a team to have a triple crown winner in pitching and almost batting and still do as bad as they have, it's pretty quiet.
It is pretty quiet. And you know what? I think it's because this whole Matt Kemp triple crown thing has happened so recently. Just in the last week, people kind of noticed that Matt Kemp was making a run at a triple crown. And Ryan Braun is hitting, he I think took a big step today. So it's not as close as it was. Kemp is 1-for-2 today. He is batting .326.
Right.
Ryan Braun, as I look here at the Brewers game, it was 2-for-3 today. He's hitting .333. So okay. Kemp is now 7 points back of the National League lead in batting average. He is tied with Albert Pujols with 37 home runs, and he leads Ryan Howard by 5 in RBIs. But it is pretty amazing. And it makes me think back of the 2003, I think, Blue Jays,
right,
where Roy Halladay won the Cy Young. Carlos Delgado should have won the MVP, and they still finished in third place.
Right, yeah. That was a big disappointment.
But that's not the NL West. I mean, for the Dodgers to finish, they're 12.5 games back in the NL West,
right,
with the best pitcher in the league and the best hitter in the league. That's crazy.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me when I see the batting average thing of Ted Williams being asked if he wants to sit on the last day of his 400 season. And he says no, and I think he went like 6-for-8 in a doubleheader or something like that.
He did, and he would have hit just 400 had he sat.
Yeah, and he hit like 406.
And he wound up at 406.
Yeah. If you have time for the whole Red Sox, Rays, Angels, I guess I may be in the minority of the listeners where I'm a baseball fan first, a Blue Jay fan second. I want to see the stronger team knock out the Yankees.
In the second round?
I want whatever team has the best shot at eliminating the Yankees, you know, whether it's the Rays. I don't think it's the Red Sox, though.
I think it's the Angels.
Yeah, when the game's on the line, because I have Heron and Weaver on my fantasy baseball team, so I follow them, and it's like the offense is seemingly anemic, despite the fact that they have players with good stats.
The offense is definitely anemic with the Angels, but that starting pitching is. I mean, I'll take Herron, Santana, and Weaver over the Rays' top three. And the Rays' offense is pretty anemic too. So, but it's pie in the sky right now, and that's the beauty. We have to see what happens over the next 3 days and over the next four games that the Boston Red Sox are going
to
play.
I'm looking forward to the playoffs, no matter who's in it.
So. Should be fun. Thank you, Brett. Appreciate it. Chris Iannetta just hit a three-run homer for the Colorado Rockies. And I point this out not because I have Iannetta in the pool, and because Iannetta is awesome with a 370 on base and a 238 batting average. It's like a player that's built for me. But it's because Iannetta's three-run homer just gave Colorado a 19-1 lead over the Houston Astros as they play, now moving towards the bottom of the eighth inning. Blue Jays lost 5-2 to the Tampa Bay Rays. Jose Bautista running into the wall to try to catch a fly ball by Ben Zobrist. Wound up writhing in pain on the warning track as Zobrist circled the bases for an inside-the-park home run. Bautista came out of the game in the sixth with a left knee contusion, and the Jays lose 5-2. Let's sneak one more call in. Joseph Chile doesn't want to do it, but we're going to sneak one more call in if we can. Pat is in Etobicoke. Pat, does it matter if the Jays finish with a winning record this season?
A couple of comments. Yes, I think it does, because I think, as many callers have mentioned, you know, it is the toughest division in baseball, and to see the Jays, you know, finish 82-80 or, you know, 83-79 would look great. I mean, it'd be the only division in baseball that has four teams with 80-plus wins. So
it already
It would look, it already is, but 80, you know,
yeah,
it would look a lot better. However, my other comment is I mean, I kind of get confused sometimes as to your feelings on the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, the Jays essentially have not made the playoffs for 17 years. 18 years, thank you. They haven't made the playoffs for 18 years.
Yep.
And, you know, the Rays were bad, you're right, for 10 years.
Uh-huh.
But if you trace back to the Jays' history, I mean, you know, they kind of went through the same thing.
Oh, no, they didn't.
Well, in
sense, it's not even remotely close.
But in a sense that, you know, they went through, now whether the bad period was longer with the Rays or shorter with the Jays, the bottom line is they both went through some bad periods. Unfortunately, the only way I see the Jays, you know, accomplishing a playoff is if they expand the playoffs. And, you know, the Rays, for whatever your opinion is on the Rays were able to do it with the big boys while there wasn't an expansion in playoffs. And the Jays, unfortunately, the only way they're going to do it is if they expand the playoffs and realign and balance the schedule.
Yeah, I don't think you're right there, Pat. And I got to go because we're out of time. But I don't think you're right. I think the Rays did it right, and the Blue Jays are trying to do it the same way. And the Rays had a 10-year head start. And the Blue Jays only had 2 years in the last 18 that were even comparable to any of those first 10 years the Rays had. We got to go. We'll come back to a quick look at the scoreboard. If you're on hold and you're on our flagship station, Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, Ben Ennis will take your phone calls. On the other side, it is the Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Baseball Control in Toronto, the Blue Jays lose it 5-2 to the Tampa Rays. The Yankees beat the Red Sox 6-2, so the Rays are now just a half game back in the wild card chase, while the Angels are leading Oakland 2-0 in the top of the sixth. If they win, they'll be a game and a half back in the wild card chase, and the Red Sox have another game tonight. In the National League, Braves lost, Giants don't matter, but the Cardinals won, so St. Louis is now only one game back of the Braves for the National League wild card. The Blue Jays' final series of the season begins tomorrow night. We're on at 7:30 Eastern for an 8:10 first pitch. Dustin McGowan against rookie Dylan Axelrod. Those of you listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, get an extra pre-pregame show that starts at 7 o'clock, which we will begin to reveal the postseason awards voted on by the Blue Jays themselves. Tomorrow, you get Most Pleasant Surprise and Rookie of the Year. You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Rogers, a proud partner of the Toronto Blue Jays. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership for the Blue Jays Radio Network. Vote Tom Cheek. Good evening from Toronto.